Jesus has a passion, and His passion, and really a passionate love and desire for you, every single one of you, to really experience success in your life. There's no question about that. You have to believe, though. You've got to get really to the point in your life where you really believe that, you know, He is interested in every area of your life. A lot of Christians don't know that. I want you to think about it a minute. The Bible says very clearly in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, it said, "Do not fear, little flock." That little flock is you. He said, "Don't fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God pleasures in giving every single one of us the kingdom of God. The word pleasure there is an incredible word. It means He's well pleased or ready and willing. But what I really grabbed out of that when I found this phrase in the original Greek, it means a gracious purpose. Or it means a grace purpose. Say grace purpose. So God has a grace purpose for your life. Everything about God is about grace. It really is. Because if He was really, you know, a righteous God that He says that He is, and He is, then He would have to destroy all of us. But He extends this great pleasure or this grace gift or this incredible grace purpose in every one of our lives today. So don't put a limit on the blessings of the Lord in your life. We do that a lot. We say, well, I don't know, He blessed so-and-so, but I'm not really that sure about me. The truth of it is God wants to bless your life as much as He does anybody else's life. Can I get an amen? He has no favorites. We're all His favorites, what we are. Now, I want you to listen very carefully because His blessings are not limited to material things. This is where we get off the mark, I think, in the kingdom a lot. We start thinking, well, if I have a lot of stuff, then that means that I'm blessed of God. And if I don't have a lot of stuff, that means God's not blessing my life. You know, I have a tendency sometimes to look at people's lives, and I think we all maybe judge a little bit too much or maybe a little too harshly. But I'll look at people's lives sometime and say, well, why don't they have that? And how come God's not blessing them in that area? How many ever done that? See, I just brought it home to about all of us, didn't I? So we say, well, you know, if they really, really trusted God and God was blessing them, then they would have that over there that they really need. And then God checked me with that quite a while back, and I realized that is not true. Because the blessing of the Lord is not only in material things. Oh, it goes a lot deeper than that. Listen, if all we ever did was get stuff, we would never know who God really is. Not really, because people, I think, you know, as far as the gates of the world and all of them, they got stuff, but I'm not sure they have Jesus. And Jesus is much more interesting to talk about than stuff. Amen? So He is interested then in your total well-being, really. He's interested in your family. How many believe that? Very concerned. Concerned about your careers. Yeah, not just a job. God doesn't want just a job for you. I mean, jobs are okay, and it's okay to make a simple living. But, you know, when you really have a career and you enjoy getting up in the morning and doing what you do, that's a blessing of the Lord. It really is. And so about your career, fulfillment in your life, just being fulfilled. You know, some folks go through their entire life with Jesus on the inside and never are fulfilled in their life. I want to be fulfilled. How about you? Every day of my life, I want to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God and doing what God's called me to do and you to do and all of us to do. Fulfilled in your marriage. Isn't that a good one? I am completely fulfilled in my marriage, really. In every asset, every facet of my marriage, I'm completely fulfilled. She could do a little better in some areas. But it keeps me praying. And confessing. And believing. I'm so thankful that was not a knife. Hallelujah. I'll be back in the hospital tomorrow. Oh, my God. All right. And in ministry, God wants you really to be fulfilled in every area of your life. All of your desires, all of your hopes, all of your dreams, and we all have these things, are important to God. They really are. If it matters to you, it matters to Him. Hallelujah. And watch this. If it bothers you, it bothers Him. How many ever get bothered with your sin habit? One, me and... Okay. Two, three, four, five, six. Six of us. Seven of us. Hallelujah. Is it? Have I got nine? Do we see ten? Have we got... So, you know, if that bothers you, guess what? It bothers Him, you know. He's very concerned about every aspect of your life. Jesus is someone that you can hang around with, that you can be real with, because He's not religious at all. Isn't that good? He converses with you about your dreams, about your hopes, about your desires. At least He desires to. And if you're not telling Him about all your hopes and dreams and desires, guess what? He's concerned anyway. Start talking to Him about these things that you're concerned about in your life. He wants to heal you of things in your past. He wants to get rid of that junk. He cares about your present challenges. He's went to great extremes to make sure. He always, every single time that you cry over something, that you're weeping over something in your life, He weeps right along with you. I know we don't get that, but you know what? He cares about that. He cares about your infirmities. He knows what you're going through. And so, if you have a son or a daughter that's away from God and your mother's, you know, I know what you do because my wife did the same thing. You go in your bedroom, you shut the door, and you weep over your son. You weep over your daughter because you want them to come to Christ. You know what? You're not weeping in vain. He's weeping right with you. He really is. But also, when you're rejoicing over your victories, guess who's rejoicing with you? Amen? How many know that sometimes you can't trust your friends to weep with you? You can't. You can't trust your friends to rejoice with you either. Because we got a huge range of emotions that we go through in our lives. But God's never that way. He's always the same. But He'll weep with you. He'll rejoice with you. He'll get excited about things that you're excited about because that's who He is. He is love. He is tenderness personified. This is, I think, one of the reasons I love following Him so much. Because He's just so incredibly tender when you need Him to be. But so incredibly strong when you need Him to be. Tenderness, strength, wrapped up, you know, in Him. It's amazing to watch it, you know. He's meek, but He's full of majesty. He's all manhood, but He's all deity. You know, He is velvet and steel. I taught that message before. Remember the woman caught in the act of adultery? I love that story because it's so much just like Him and shows the world what He's really like. He looked at everyone around with all this incredible strength and said, if you're without sin, then go ahead and kill her if that's what you want to do. And then He stands back. Of course, they were all with sin, so they all disappeared. But that strength all of a sudden turned right into absolute tenderness when He turned completely, looked at the woman and said, woman, where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So you have strength in Him. You have tenderness in Him. Everything about Jesus is incredible, and that is your God this morning. Are you here? That's what I'm talking about. I'm laying a little foundation this morning before we get in the Word. In one moment, one little moment, He's sleeping in the boat, you know, in the middle of a storm. And the very next moment, He comes out of that sleep and stands in the bow of that little boat. And He begins to take authority over that storm, rebuking that storm. And everything went calm and pristine in that lake because of who He is. 100% man. 100% God. That's who you're following today. You're not following a religion. You're not following a church doctrine. You're not following me or any man-made person. You are following a person that is connected to the living God, and you are the one connected to the living God. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So He identifies with us. He understands with all that we're going through in life. Everything that we have ever gone through or ever will go through, He has done it. He's been there. He understands it. He's a feeling in our infirmities. He understands all of that. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. This is a statement I want you to hear. All His power, every bit of all I'm talking about here, all that power, all that authority, all the resources of heaven are on your side right now. See, it doesn't matter what you're facing, does it? When you begin to meditate on this, that God concerned about my problem. He's concerned about the way what I'm concerned about. He understands me. He knows all about me. And therefore, all the power, all the authority, all the resources that Jesus has are on my side to make sure that I get what I need in this life and even in a life to come. You are important to God. Look at somebody and say, I am important to God. You are important to God. He knows you perfectly. Think about that. He knows you perfectly. And yet He still loves you. He knows you perfectly. And He likes you. He likes to hang with you. And when you don't look him up in the morning, or look him up in the daytime, or look him up before you go to bed, and you don't look him up, he's very disappointed, because he wants you to share with him what you're going through so he can share with you how to get out of it, what you're going through. God is perfect. You are perfect in him, and you two together make a great team. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, when you get this, when you fully understand that, you can't earn, you can't deserve anything from him. There's nothing you can do. I want you to go from that premise from here on out with all these teachings. There is nothing you can do to earn anything or deserve anything from God. I am so tired. I see it on Facebook. I see it on Twitter. I see it on emails. I see it in church bulletins and advertisements. I see it in sermons all over the country that you must do this to get that, you must be this to become that. And all of that is absolute nonsense. You've got to start from this point. I can't earn anything from God. I can't deserve anything from God. And the moment I try to earn it or deserve it, I lose it. Because you are not that good at earning or deserving. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You can fast all you want, and you should. But you can't earn anything through fasting. You can't deserve it through fasting. You can pray all you want, and you should. But you can't get anything by putting your self-effort into it. We're gonna dismiss that fable. We're going to walk totally in our trust with God. Some place that maybe you've never been before. It's scary to get there. But when you get there and you let it go, that's when you see the hand of God begin to move in your life. All right? Now you understand His incredible favor. When you understand His incredible favor, His favor protects you. His favor delivers you. His favor brings restoration in your life. His favor prospers you. And His favor provides every single thing you need in this life. His favor transforms you into completeness. God wants to bring you to completeness. So favor comes down to, I'm going to define it for you right now. Favor is the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God. And it's not limited to one individual. And it's not limited to those who have arrived. It's not limited to the elite in the kingdom. It's not limited to apostles or prophets or evangelists or pastors or teachers. It's not limited to those who have been saved a long time. And one day, brother, when you pull yourself up and you rise to where I'm at, then you'll be blessed too. See, none of that is true. The moment you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, that's the moment the goodness or the favor of God comes on your life. You just don't know it. And we got to understand it. Amen? Favor leads you to live victoriously for His glory. And I want to talk about that a little bit in a few minutes. There are two ways that you can go about life. There's only two ways. I've researched it. Believe me, I've lived a while in this earth, and I'm going to live a whole lot longer in this earth. But let me tell you something. I've tried it a lot of different ways, but I found out there are only two ways you can live your life in this earth. There's only two ways you can go about doing this. One, you can depend entirely on self-efforts. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to earn it myself. And a lot of men have this problem. You know, it's like, I want to work harder to prove to my dad that I'm really worthy, or prove to my wife that I'm really a man, and all those kind of things. And we us men go about trying to prove how good and how wonderful we are by all of our hard work and effort and all of that. There is nothing wrong by your hard work and your effort. I'll say it over and over again. But when you rely totally upon your self-efforts, then you put yourself in a position that when you do get into trouble, and you will, then you put yourself there, therefore you must pull yourself out of there. And you're not capable of doing that. The second way of living, and the only two way, the second way of living, is depending completely on the favor and blessing of God. Now, I don't know about you, but my choice is very clear in my life. I'm going to depend completely and solely upon the Lord. I have for the past many, 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 many years. Live completely and solely upon His favor. If it doesn't come to me by His favor, then I'm not going to go and wrestle with it to bring it into existence. I'm not going to do that. I want to make sure that whatever I get directly from Him, because when it comes directly from Him, it is His goodness, because it's His favor. So I want to make sure that it comes from God. Amen?
Amen?
Now, when you understand those two choices, then you narrow it down to I'm gonna labor on self-effort for a while because it's important. But the choice is clear. If you have a business or if you have a job or whatever you're doing in life, make sure that you give every day, say, God, this is yours. I release it into your hands. Whatever you want favor to come into my life, I receive it from you. But I'm not going to put myself in an early grave trying to make it happen for me. Are you with me? Not going to happen. I've seen pastors quit the ministry, and most do. 1 out of 12 make it. Only 11 out of 12 don't make it. Because what they don't do is they do it by self-effort, not by letting God bless their life. All right, now, all religions, every one of them, I don't care, name anything you want, all religions are based on merit, every one of them. That means that if you do this, then God will do that. And if you pray harder, then God will do this. If you fast more, God will do that. Whatever religion that you follow, if there is something behind it, it's always earning the right to be in God's presence. Or there is a merit. I have to wear almost like a spiritual merit badge. When you see me, I have arrived because I've done certain things. That's what religion does. And even in Christian religions, that happens a lot. But Christianity, the real term of Christianity, is based on Calvary. And only on Calvary, on the cross of Christ. There is nothing else to it. That is the simplicity that is in Him. So you can't earn it. You can't merit it. You just look at what Jesus did for you. And there's no middle road with walking with God. You can't mix your efforts with His grace. All right. Now, having said all of that, that's all the introduction. Now, here we go. Are you ready? All right. Hebrews 9:14. It says this. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. When you depend on your own efforts to deserve favor, then that is dead works. That's what the Bible calls dead works. I can't tell you the number of years in the beginning of my ministry that I labored so hard and so strong and so many hours that nearly drove myself right into an early grave. And a lot of men do in their early walk with God, early ministry with the Lord. But when I read this scripture, I got a revelation from God that God cleanses, or His blood rather, cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So it's not about dead works. The more that you try to deserve or earn His favor, the more you enter into dead works. Everything we do really comes down to dead works. Now, I'll get to that, the positive point of that, in just a moment. But the Christian's life is not based on what you are doing or not doing. It is based completely on what He has done already on the cross. Now, listen very carefully, because when you truly receive what Jesus has done for you, then your doing will flow effortlessly. It'll flow easy. Is that okay? Effortlessly. Well, when you say it in syllables, yeah, it sounds good. But try to say it all at once, real fast. It don't work. But so you got to be careful here, because as soon as you start saying there are dead works, and then right away the lazy Christian says, "Ha ha! I knew there was something there for me. Hallelujah! I don't have to do anything anymore. Praise the Lord! Just grace, I have mercy, I have favor. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the Lord." No. The moment that you understand the completed work of Christ, when you get that in your revelation of your spirit, automatically what you begin to do for the Lord, because there's a lot of doing that has to be done, amen? The more you begin to do, it begins to flow out of your spirit in an effortless manner. Hallelujah. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians 15:10. All right? But by the grace of God. Now, let me just say this, that every time you see the word grace in the Bible, it is the same word, favor. Same word, all right? So let's just change it. But by the favor of God, I am what I am. You see that? So how do you become what you are today? By His favor. So whatever you are, it's because of His favor. Now, Listen, I've had great success in ministry for a long, long time. And thank God for it. But when you really look at this thing, you realize, you know what? It's not anything I've ever done right. I've had people come to me and say, well, how do you do that? I mean, in this city, when I first got here, God started doing some things right off the bat real early. We had Kim Clement in, you know, packed the place out. Church was about 5 months old. And so we had a lot of, you know, notoriety or whatever. And I had pastors come to me, how do you do this? Like, I've got a secret of how you do this. No, it is favor. So as soon as you say, well, it's favor, then they say, well, I don't have any favor. I need some favor too. No, you got favor. You have to understand that God's favor is all that I am. By His favor, I am what I am. There's nothing I can get outside of Him. There's no way I can draw that into my own life. It is because of Him. His favor and His favor alone. And His favor toward me was not in vain. Look at that. But I labored more abundantly than everybody. Look at this. Yet not I, but the favor of God was with me. So why do you labor? Your dead works are no good. Now, if you do it out of your own self, it's dead works. It means nothing. It's not going to help you whatsoever. You're trying to attain the favor from God. Not going to work. But the very moment you allow His favor to come into your life, the Bible says very clearly that favor will make you work more abundantly. It'll make you do more abundantly. It'll make you do more and more and more. And then you'll wonder, how do I get so much stuff done in a day? I mean, how do I get all these things done? You know, a wise man once said that if you want something done, give it to a busy person. Yeah. Right? Because they walk in an incredible favor. So favor makes you labor more abundantly. And then you can say to God, the favor you gave me was not in vain, Lord. I did it exactly the way you wanted it to be done, not the way I wanted it to be done, or try to gain favor, but your favor made me do the work of the Lord. And then I found out that favor is what did it all along. So that's an incredible verse. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2, in the Amplified Version, I love this scripture. It said, may grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect, look what it is, perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of our God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that an incredible verse? Go back to that first part again, if you would please, the first part of the Amplified Version. May God's favor and peace, which is perfect. All right? So His favor is perfect. Your works are not. They are dead. But His favor is perfect and peace, which is perfect well-being. So if you have God's favor, then you have well-being. Also, it is all necessary good. So whatever good needs to come to you, it comes by favor. And all spiritual prosperity and freedom from your fears, your agitating passions, and moral. Now look at this. This is very important, moral conflicts. What's he talking about? He's talking about those lusts of the flesh that drive people crazy, that you seem like you never can overcome, right? Or those conflicts of morality you have in your life. Let's label it sin. So it's all sin. So the Bible says when you have the favor of God, that sin does not have dominion over you. So therefore, you're walking in favor. You want to overcome a sin habit in your life? Quit trying to beat it to death and by resolutions or by repenting and start just saying, Lord, I'm walking in your favor. You know, it has a lot to do with your confession, isn't it? Yeah. You have what you say. Start saying, Lord, I believe I'm favored of you. I love it when I take our people here. You all are incredible. I can't catch you in anything wrong. I walk up and say, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I'm like, glory to God. And they say, how are you? And I say, well, I better be blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Right? You're not, you're not lying. Because no matter how you're doing, you know, and you have a physical problem, when you say, well, I'm doing great, I'm wonderful, I'm, you know, whatever, and you're lying because your body's hurting. Don't look at me like that. But when you say, I'm blessed and highly favored of God, then you're quoting what the Bible says about you, right? Now, this is a very powerful verse in Peter that I'd love to spend some more time on. But it's that simple. It's that easy. When you see Jesus, everything in your life becomes exciting. It really does. You have to increase in knowledge. You have to learn some things about Jesus. You have to increase in the knowledge of Him. This is very, very important. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, look at this verse. This is an incredible, mind-blowing verse. Peter said, but grow in the favor. Look at that. You're to grow in favor. Grow in favor and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right? So we're to grow in favor. And as you grow in favor, it goes hand in hand with knowledge. So the moment you understand favor in your life, you begin to confess favor over your life. I am favored of God. The more that you understand your favor with God and favor of God in your life, the more knowledge that you are getting of Jesus. Why Jesus? Because He is favor. He is all about favor. He is the epitome of favor Himself. All right? And He's really the goal that we should be going after. All right? So there are great books on favor. I have a friend, you guys know, Dave Martin. He's written a book on favor, kind of made him famous all over the world, really. But people are hungering for favor. And there are friends of mine who have written books. Several books have been written about favor. And they're wonderful books. But the problem is that people begin to think that favor is a teaching. Well, I want some favor teaching, or I want to hear the favor doctrine and all of that. But God's unmerited favor is really the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel. You can't separate the two from each other because He is a person. I've taught this before, but He is a person. His name is Jesus. So when you have Jesus, you have favor. So the moment that you accept Christ, you have the favor of God in your life. Christians just don't know that, but you need to know that. Now watch. How many pay bills? You pay bills? And sometimes they'll give you a 5-day grace period. 15-day grace period. You might even get lucky and have a 30-day grace period, right? Ever wonder why they call it a grace period? Because they're giving you favor for that time. They're giving you favor for 5 days, favor for 15 days, maybe favor for 30 days. So they're giving you, extending you favor is what they're doing. Right. Pretty incredible. The world understands that. But yet with Jesus, there is no 30-day grace period, 30-day favor period. There's no limit to His favor. His favor is limitless. It goes on and on and on in your life because to limit favor in your life would be to limit Him because He is favor. And how can He be limited? He's unlimited. So understand today that God's favor is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to go back into for a few minutes this morning with this incredible... What time is that? Oh, okay. Good. I thought, okay, good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm about to faint up here. All right. Genesis 39. We're going to talk about Joseph's life. There's still some more incredible truths in Joseph's life that I want to look at. All right? Genesis 39, verses 1 and 2. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. In verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Underline that in your Bible. Remember that verse. He was held captive. He was sold into slavery in verse 1. He had nothing left. And yet the Holy Spirit put this verse of Scripture in there in verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Now, let me ask you a question. If you are bound into slavery, being sold as a slave, you have nothing left. Whatever you had been stripped from you, even your dignity, your pride, you're standing naked before people, you are being sold into slavery, you have nothing left. Even the authority that you had from your father, his father, was now back in another land. He was in a foreign land, and he's standing there. And the Spirit of God says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Hoop-de-doo. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you have ever been in situations like that in your life, where you have been absolutely destitute or going through some of the biggest problems in your life, and some Christian walks up to you, be of good cheer. The Lord is with you. And you are highly successful.
Right.
What do you want to do to that Christian? You want to knock him in the next week.
Right?
Right?
Right.
You say, where's God? Where's the Lord?
Right.
Why have all these things befallen us? That's what Gideon said when he was called the mighty man of valor. He said, well, if God be for me and all of his miracles are real, then where is he?
Right.
And that's really a kind of a normal response when you're going through things.
Right.
I shared Wednesday night a little bit about that when I woke up in the hospital the next day after surgery. And I'm thinking, what am I doing here? This is not right. And I got agitated. I got really upset and I got frustrated. And I'm like, you know, and I wasn't strong enough to be really overly frustrated because I was kind of weak. But in my mind, I'm wrestling and saying, this is ridiculous. I should not be here. God, what is the problem? Where were you last night? I know y'all don't talk to God like that. But see, I know him better than most of you. But anyway, no. Lord, where were you? What's going on? What happened? How come I even had to go through this? I shouldn't even have to go through this. What is the deal? Have you ever asked God that? Help me out. Sure you have. Where are you, God? How come I'm going through? What's happening? And we start with these questions. But the truth of it is, we've got to get in our spirits today that the Lord is with us. No matter what we are going through, no matter how destitute we seem to be, or what difficulties we're facing right now. It's not about why God, why God, why God. It's get in our spirit that the Lord is with us in our destitute situation, and we can be successful in the middle of that situation. Now, I want you to hear this, because this is extremely important that you get this, all right? So God's definition then of success is a lot different than the world's definition. Because when the world looks at success, it's what you've done. It's what you've accomplished. It's what you've accumulated. Isn't that right? We want to see success. We drive through the, you know, the parts of town that have all the big massive homes and say, look at the success. Isn't that successful? Isn't that person wonderful? Look at what they've accomplished, you know. And we begin to label these people by their self efforts, by what they have done to accomplish what they have. When in reality, I know some rich people, and I'm telling you, in reality, some of these rich people are not happy at all. They are miserable people, and they go to bed at night worried about all that they have, trying to hang on to what they have. Now, you've got to get this in your spirit, because it's not what the world says, that I've done this, I've accomplished that, I've accumulated. Listen to me. If the world looks at me, Jerry Pruitt, today, and says, you know what? He's had a good life. He's built some great churches. Some great success has been done in his life. And it's a wonderful what he's done, you know. He needs to write a book on how to do all of that and help other people to get to where they need to go to. Nothing could be further from the truth. Because I stand before you today saying, I've done nothing. In fact, some of the things that I do are so wrong and so ridiculous and so stupid, you wonder why God would bless any of it. I'm telling you the truth. And you look back and say, I don't know how I did that. How did you? I don't know how I did that. I don't know how it happened. And all I look back over my life and it's just, let me tell you a story. Years and years ago, we had built one, two, three, four, five phases in a building in Wisconsin. Five phases in 8 years. With a perpetual building program for 8 years. And God was blessed. We built it. They filled it up. Built it. Filled it up. It was just really the talk of the area. Things were happening. And first time I ever did this, I didn't know what I was doing. So I walk out to the mailbox one day. It was real early in the morning to get the mail. I walked out. Nobody was there. I walked out to the mailbox. Just, you know, back in Wisconsin, we have mailboxes where you walk out to. So I walked out to the street. It's a long way out there. So I went out to the street. And I open this big mailbox and I pull some mail out. The Spirit of God just stopped me. He said, look back and what do you see? And I look back. I just come out of prayer for about an hour and a half. So I was really, you know, walking in the Spirit. I look back and I saw this. It was a gorgeous building. This big building, green grass. Really, real green grass. And I'm looking back at this building. And the Lord says, what do you see? And I said, well, Lord, I see a building. I see several of the buildings put together and all of that, you know. And I'm trying to hear the voice of God. I don't know what he was talking about. So I said, I see beautiful buildings. And he said, do you see yourself? Yeah. It went off in my spirit like a foghorn. Do you see yourself? And I stopped for a minute, wanting to please the Lord with the right answer. You ever done that? I want to say the right thing. All right. What's the right religious thing to say? But I didn't. I was real with God. And I said, I don't know, Lord. I don't know. Am I there? I don't know. And I'm thinking, are you sending me somewhere? Is that what this is about? I don't know what's going on. You know, and the Lord said to me, do you see yourself there? And then sometimes when God speaks to you, you just know what he means. You know, that's just annoying. And I just said, no, I don't see myself there. I don't see me in any project that was done here. I had nothing to do with this. It was not me at all. You could have pulled anybody off the street and they could have done this. It was just, I'm blessed and favored to be able to do this. It just came in my spirit, and I knew right then and there, God, this has nothing to do with me. Now, when you understand that and you realize that there's no formula, it's not what you accumulate. Look, if you want to go back to Wisconsin, I wish you all go back and visit. There's a great structure there that we built. It is there. You can see it. Some of the guys went back, Matt, a few of the guys went back to see it. It's incredible structure. 45,000 square foot facility that God built in the middle of a cornfield. In a little town of 36,000 people, and put it on the national map. It was an amazing story what God did. But go and visit. It's wonderful. See the buildings. You're going to get like, wow, look at what they did. And look at how they did this and how they did that. And then we'll take you over to Milwaukee and we'll show you what God did over there that came out of that. And we can go on and look at here what God did out of all of that. And you can say, wow, look at what they did. We did nothing. I'm not trying to be humble. I'm just saying we did nothing. There is no secret formula. There's nothing that we have accumulated. There's nothing that we have accomplished. There's nothing that we have done at all that would say that is success, because that's how the world sees it. And we are not of the world. See, that's based entirely on your time, your energy, your resources. But take a look at the world today and do it by the world standards. I don't know about you, but the world system of success today is pretty shaken right now. It's bad, folks. And they created it. They created it. We don't live in that realm, thank God for that. But they created that system that is failing right now, because the world system is enmity against God. It is, look at us, we did this, we don't need your help. The Tower of Babel says, we're going to build this from the ground floor up. We're going to go into heaven. We'll be like God. We'll reach heaven. We'll reach God on our own efforts and our own merits. And God says, you'll never do that. And the angel of God came down and stirred their languages and confused them, called the Tower of Babel. And it stopped dead in its tracks, because human effort can never attain what God has for you. But the moment you let it go and say, I've had enough of this, I'm not trying it anymore, I'm not going to put myself in an early grave, I'm not going to make it happen, I can't do to please God. I'm letting it go. And then when you let it go, God is pleased with that. He wants to give you the kingdom. He'll pour favor in your life. You'll recognize it, and then you'll do, and have a great life. All right? According to Genesis 39 and verse 2, according to that scripture, success is not what you have, but it's who you have. It's who you have. Do you have the Lord? Do you have Jesus? If you have Him, you have success. If you don't have Him, you don't have success. That's really what this life is all about. It's all about Him. Now, Joseph had nothing. He had no money. He had no educational qualifications and no connections to connect him to the right people. I see seminars in the Christian world today. They're taught by a lot of men of God that you got to make the right connections. If you make right connections, then you'll be blessed. That's wrong. It's wrong. My connection is with heaven. It's not with man. My connection is with Him. I have Him. Therefore, I am successful. That's success when you understand it. When you try to make connection with flesh, what can they give you? They can't give you anything, right? So no money, no education, no connections, no influence. He had nothing left whatsoever. Yet God said he was a success. Matthew 1, 18 through 21. Watch these scriptures. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, righteous man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? Why Jesus? For he will save his people from their sins. Now watch this very carefully, because you have Joseph. Now, I mentioned a little bit on Wednesday night, but, you know, let's say, you know, you're engaged to a young lady, right? And you've never had any relationship with her, which you shouldn't have. See, that's the modern church. In the old church, glory, yeah, amen. Now it's like, come on now. Gee whiz, you bunch of self-righteous. Oh, anyway, so I'm just trying to help you out here, okay? Now, so Joseph has not had any relationship with her. He's betrothed to her. They're going to be married. And yet Mary winds up pregnant. He don't know what's going on. All he knows is this girl that I'm going to marry is pregnant, and I know it's not me. That's what he knows. So he's a just man, a good man. And he says, I'm not going to make a spectacle out of her. I'm not going to do that. I'll put her away privately. We'll hide this thing. I'll cover it. It'll be okay. That's a man of God.
Yeah.
I'll cover this thing. So he puts it away. And then while he's pondering, thinking about what's going on, what happened, how did the Spirit of God said to him, don't worry about it. Take her as a wife. Just don't touch her yet. And after the child is born, you'll be married. It'll be good. But right now, that which is of the Holy Spirit, it's holy. And you shall call his name Jesus. Now, there are people today that have the name of Jesus, right? Jesus. There are people called Jesus. There are people called Jesus. They're labeled Jesus. But I promise you, they don't walk on water. So having the name Jesus, what's really behind that name for a moment? Now watch, because this is very important. Jesus in Hebrew means Yeshua. You all know that, I'm sure. But did you know Yeshua, in Yeshua, the name Yeshua, it contains an abbreviation for Yahweh in there. And Yahweh is the name for God in the Old Testament. It's so holy that when they did not pronounce it Yahweh in the Old Covenant, they would take out the A and the E, right? They would take out those two, and it'd be YHWH. It was so holy that they didn't want to pronounce the name. That's how they felt about God being so holy. And in the Old Testament, Jesus means Yahweh is our Savior, or the Lord our Savior. Say Savior. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says this. You got that? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. All right, let me read it to you. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When you call upon the name of Jesus, you are calling on God Himself to save you. Now get this, it's very important. So saving you is His job description. That's what He does. You shall call Him Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. That's His job description. He is Savior. So whatever you need, you call upon Jesus, and then God Almighty will save you. Now get this in your spirit, because God Almighty Himself, now I'm going to label this, now watch. God Almighty Himself, Jesus, wants to save you first from your sins, and every Christian knows that. Then, though, He wants to save you from all the challenges you're going to face after He has saved you from your sin. Before you're saved from your sin, you're in your sin, you're going to hell. But you accept Him, He saves you from your sin, but then He saves you from every challenge you're going to have after that, all the days of your life. What an incredible God. This is His job description, to save you, Almighty God. Now, you need a full revelation that Jesus Christ is your Savior. A full revelation. Matthew 1, 22 and 23. Now watch this. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Here's what He's saying. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call His name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Which is translated God with us. Now, so it's not Jesus, but it's Emmanuel, right? Look at that. So what does it mean to say God with us? We have to find that out. What does it mean? Well, here is the secret of Emmanuel. Now watch. Because in the Jewish mind, if I was speaking to Jewish people right now, in the Jewish mind, they understand that when the Lord is with you, you become successful in every endeavor of your life. They get that. The Lord is with me. That means I cannot fail. I must succeed. When the child of God in our churches in America today hears that the Lord is with us, God is with us, it just goes in here and goes out. We don't get it. But, oh, yeah, the Lord's with me. Yeah, I'm the house of God. I'm a temple of the Lord. Okay, that's cool. You know, you need to go beyond that and start thinking like a Jew would think. That whatever I do, whatever endeavor in life that I have, I will be successful. Are you with me? Now, I don't want to do stereotypes here this morning. But when you mention Jewish, you mention Jew, what's the first thing you think of?
Money.
Success. They own. Listen, we look at Harrison Ford, and we look at, you know, the Paul Newmans, and we look at all these great actors and actresses and say, boy, look at those people. They made a lot of money. You know what? They didn't make a lot of money. The people that made the money were those who owned the studios. And who owned the studios was Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
Right.
Jewish people. They're the ones. They don't want to be in front of the camera acting like a fool. They want to be behind the camera that's bankrolling the money to make sure they make 10 times their money. Are you with me? They knew that when God is with them, whatever they do is going to prosper. They understood that no matter what I do in life, whatever endeavor I take up, it will be blessed. Why? Because God is with us. Now you go back to the prophecy to Joseph, and you shall call His name Jesus, Yahweh, connected to the Father in the Old Testament, connected to God, the Lord in the Old Testament. And now He connects it right to Emmanuel, God with us. Now God, Jesus, is with us. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. Do you know that you walk in every day of your life that the Lord is with you? So when you have Jesus, Emmanuel, He helps you and makes things happen for you. Say, the Lord is with me. Say, the Lord is with me. So everything I do, I will succeed. That's what you ought to be saying over your life. Now, oh, how am I going to pay the bills? Oh, my God, I don't have a job. I don't know how am I going to do this. Business is down. This is no. Stop talking that. God is with you. The Lord is with you. And if Emmanuel, Jesus, is with you, then you have every single thing you need. I cannot fail. All success must come to my door. No matter what I do. All of it. Whatever I'm going through, God will be there because He is with me. So you don't go by feelings, you go by the truth. He said He will never leave you nor forsake you in Hebrews. I love that scripture. No matter what you're going through, He's right there with you. The gospel is very simple. You know what? It takes theologians to complicate it.
Amen.
It does. Give us teachers. You know, when you start crying out for teachers to try to tell you something the Word already says very plain, you're asking for about 10,000 different interpretations. You're not saying teach me, you're saying interpret that for me. Let's just read it and see what it says. I mean, God's Word is true, right? It comes down to a question of dependence. Do you depend on you or you depend on Him? When you depend on yourself, then you carry all the stress, you carry all the burdens, and you carry all the anxieties. I've been there. And I'm going to tell you what, when you start carrying that, listen, the moment I start getting stressed over the ministry, that's when it's time to go take a vacation. Seriously. Back in the old days, I'd get stressed and I want more stress. I've got to figure it out. Take some time off. Time off? Are you kidding me? In this crisis situation, you can't do it. Listen, you can't get any more of a crisis situation than what I went through. And I'll be honest with you, folks. I love you. I really, really love every one of you to the depths of my heart. But I did not worry about you at all. I just thought about me. I said, they're okay. I'm the one who's got a problem. So it's not on my shoulders to be here to keep you coming. You came anyway. Are you with me? Because when stress gets on your life and you begin to take it as your own, then look at who brought the stress in the first place. It's probably you. So you got to throw your hands up. Say, I quit. I'm done. Okay, God, got my attention. This is all about you and not about me. Because when you depend on Him, look what He says in Philippians 4. Look what He says when you depend on Him. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about a thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Look at this verse right here. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, right? Sorry about that. Don't stone me. Don't stone me. I just skipped it. Surpasses all. You hear them? They're just fighting me over there. All. Okay. Surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you see that? So it's a problem that He creates, then He has to fix it. If I create it, I got to fix it, right? He said peace is very important. That word there is shalom. You've heard of it. It means prosperity, health, completeness, soundness, and safety. So no matter what you're going through, if you give it to Him, don't worry about it, then all this, prosperity, health, completeness, soundness, and safety, will come into your life. It'll go beyond your understanding. This won't make any sense at all. When everything around you is failing, look to Jesus. He is the answer. Amen?
Amen.
He's always been the answer. He always will be the answer. Very quickly, Genesis 39, verse 1 through 3, again. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, look at verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Now, all Joseph did, I could preach on this and have a ball with this. Incredible scripture. All Joseph had, all he had, was the presence of the Lord. He had nothing else. But God's presence, and I wrote a book on this whole thing, but God's presence always exudes His power, which brings about His purpose. Everything in life is about God's power coming forth so the purpose can be revealed. Now, when God's presence is made manifest, and there's a key word, manifest, in your life, that's when His glory shines through you. Now, we need a manifestation of His presence in everything that we do. Verse 3 again, His master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. What did Potiphar see? What did he see? He saw the presence of the Lord in his life. And everything that Joseph did got bigger and better. And he's like, what is going on here? And he began to glorify the Lord of heaven. See, the manifestation began to come. See, in everything I do in my life, I want people to see Jesus and see Jesus alone. Now, in my early days, I'll be honest with you, it's kind of about, you know, let everybody kind of see me. We all go through that. We do. We pound our chest and say, look at this. But then you get a little older, you realize, you know, that was really stupid. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His favor. We need to desire the results that Jesus can produce and nothing else. See, listen, the Word of God is so powerful. When His Word is spoken, sinners get born again. When the Word of God is spoken, sick bodies get healed. You know, I mean, demons flee at His presence. Marriages get restored. I love that. Families get brought back together again. Debts are canceled miraculously. I love it when God does something supernatural out of that area. Also, fears disappear. Hearts are encouraged. Hope is restored in people's lives. And joy gets renewed. That is the Jesus or the kind of results I want to see. Right there. His amazing, unmerited favor. What we're talking about. We're breaking some ground today, laying some foundation. But when you stop doing and start depending on God's divine favor, stop trying to make it happen and just depend on Him, you're going to begin to experience Jesus' kind of results. Now, people always want to know what you are doing right in your life to get results. There's nothing you can do. Here's a principle that I want to leave you with this morning. We'll go deeper in this next week. I have so much more, but I don't want to hold you. A principle that I've learned to live without. Learn to live with. Very important. Write it down. Live with it. Very simple, yet profound. Without Him, we cannot. Without us, He will not. Let me say it again. Without Him, we cannot. Without us, He will not. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain, those who try to build it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, very powerful scripture, strong words of warning. If you have become estranged from Christ, if you attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. See, once you start depending, or let's put the word favor in there, you've fallen from favor. As soon as you say you've fallen from grace, Christians right away want to take the condemnation side of it and say, yep, I can lose my salvation, I'll just fall from grace. That's not what He's talking about. He's saying, if you attempt to go back under and be justified by the law, once you walk in God's favor, you have fallen from His favor. Not because He makes you fall, but because you fall from understanding of His failure. So people always want to do what's right. I believe that. That's the principle to live by. Once you start depending on your own self-efforts to deserve God's favor, then you are back under the system of the law. When you fall from His unmerited favor in your life, that's what happens. So what about the phrase, without us, He will not? Well, He needs you to allow Him to work in your life. You have to let Him do that. Now, God does not want us to have success that will crush us. And that's a thought that I'm going to preach on next week. It's a revelation that I've never seen. But God is not going to bless you just because you earn it or merit it, deserve it, or do all the things right. There are times when you think, well, boy, if God would just do that thing for me, that would solve all my problems. Have you ever thought that? God, just do that and it will solve all my problems. And you wonder, why doesn't He do that? Why doesn't He just do that simple little thing and it will solve my problems? Because God's not going to do anything that will crush you. Nothing. See, good things can crush you. Blessings can bring you down. If you don't think so, I did studying this one time. I looked at a book that I pulled out. So I couldn't believe it. But the amount of people that won the lotteries since lotteries started in the beginning, the heartache that these people have caused in their lives by having a blessing has been incredible. And every single one of them said, I wish I would have never won a dime. Isn't that amazing? Now, I can't imagine myself saying that. In fact, let me tell you something. What I'm going to teach you next week is God makes preparation for you to receive His favor. So that when it comes, it doesn't crush you. But it blesses you and it blesses everyone around you. It is an amazing revelation. Powerful. But I know that God can trust me with millions of dollars. He can. I'm not saying it arrogant or prideful. Him and me, we know. He knows. He knows He can trust me. I just don't play the lottery. But if I got the numbers, I would. Wouldn't you? You self-righteous people wouldn't do it. You're the same people wouldn't give me a tenth of it either, would you? Seriously, folks, God's blessing makes you rich and doesn't add sorrow with it. But there's a principle behind it. I'm going to show you Joseph's life. Mind-blowing, okay? You don't want to miss it. And by the way, Wednesday night, you don't want to miss Wednesday night either. We're having an incredible time talking about identity, crisis in the body. It is amazing what the Lord is doing. Would you all stand to your feet, please? Hallelujah. Of course, before we go, as always at our church, we want to give everybody a chance, an opportunity, if you will, to receive Jesus as their personal Savior. The crowd this size, undoubtedly there's people sitting here that don't know the Lord. Maybe you're a first-time visitor, you're not sure about what all this entails. Here's what you need to know. You need to know, first of all, that you're a sinner. Everybody is. Everybody's missed the mark. Everybody's blown it. There's none righteous, not even one. The only one who ever lived this life and lived it right was Jesus. That's why He became the Savior of the world. He was able to go to the cross on your behalf. That's the beauty of the gospel, isn't it? That I deserved hell. I deserved separation from God. I'm not getting what I deserve. Jesus took all I deserved on Him. And now I believe in Him and I confess Him. I say, He is my Lord. He died for me. He rose from the dead for me. When I do that, then He comes into my heart, inside of my body, and He lives in here. That's what the Scripture says. Now, it may not seem like that, but that's exactly what He does. He lives inside of every child of God. And now I am righteous because of Him. I could not be before in myself. All my self-effort, my trying to turn over a new leaf, trying to be good, trying to, just trying to be kind for a day and all those kind of things, or do humanitarian things. There are people that are flooding to Haiti to work that don't know Jesus, are trying to appease God in some manner by the humanitarian effort. That'll never work. You can feed a million people and go to hell without Jesus Christ because there's none righteous. Your righteousness is like filthy rags. There's nothing you can do to please God except one thing. He said, here's how you please me. You believe on the one that I sent, because I'm going to give you my very best gift. And His name is Jesus, my Son. I'm going to send Him. I can't send anything better than Him. I'm going to let Him die on your behalf. He's going to be punished brutally for your sins. And He will hang up on a cross. And when He dies, it'll be finished. And I'll resurrect Him the third day. Then everybody who comes to Him, the same Spirit that raised Him will come and live in your heart. That's what the Word says. And you can be free today. Free in just a moment's time by saying, I believe that, I receive that. And most of you have done that. But there are some here who have never done that. And I don't want to see you walk out of this building today without Christ. What a sad, sad thing that would be. I remember the day that I accepted Him. I didn't, you're confused, you're not sure, and you're kind of wrestling with your thoughts, and what are you going to make me do? Do I have to come forward? Am I going to be embarrassed? And, you go through a range of emotions. I went through all of those. But then I just realized that I don't care what anybody thinks. I want Christ, and I want Him now. My hand flew up. I made my way to the front, and I've never been the same since. Maybe you're the next preacher. Maybe you're the next prophet, or maybe you're the next person God wants to use around the world. Who knows? Or maybe you're just going to be saved and live a wonderful life. I don't know what God has for you, but I know one thing. You need to be saved. You need to get born again. You can't go to heaven without it.